Spirit till the work on earth is done. When I stand in glory, I will see His face. There I'll serve my King forever in that holy place. Thank you, O my
Again, it's good to have Brother Pittman back with us. Had to come back on some business, and it's been good to have a little bit of fellowship with him. Enjoyed having lunch with him the other day, and good to have him at the dinner last night. We were talking, time goes by so fast. We were talking about when they got here. They got here around the early part of 2006 when they moved here, and then went through our Bible Institute and started to preach, and then we voted to send him to Chile. Chile is a missionary, and of course they went down there in February of 2016. Again, that's hard to believe. That's been that long ago. Seems like they just left. And so the Lord's been blessing down there. We've kind of been keeping you updated on all that's been happening. The Lord's blessed him with, sounds like, a good solid group of people to get started with, and they're fired up and behind the work, it sounds like, and so we're thankful for that. So he's going to come preach, tell us a little bit about the work down there, and then, as I said, preach as well. So, Brother, why don't you come ahead? He's also got something he wants to.
Put my Bible down. The church there in Temuco wanted to present you all with something from Chile to say thank you for sending a missionary there so that they could have a Bible teaching church. And this is just a plaque that has our region on it and then the name of the church. And we just want to let you know how much they appreciate and how much we appreciate your support and just being able to be in Chile. And Calvary has a daughter in Chile.
Amen. Amen.
So,
amen.
This is...
Amen. Thank you. Appreciate
okay.
it, brother.
Yep.
Make sure you thank him for us. We'll send him a note. We'll find some place to hang that.
Okay.
We'll lay it up front after service. You come up.
All right. So, I'll tell you a little bit about what's going on. We got down there in, I guess, February 3rd, 2016, and things didn't go exactly as planned. We went down there. I went down about 6 months before that and rented a house, and the house was supposed to be ready for us when we got there. Well, guess what? As all things in a foreign country, you can't count on things being ready when they say they're going to be ready. So we got down there, and we ended up having to stay in some places that weren't really the best in the world. But we did the work. We got our house ready, we got moved in, we started language school, and shortly after that, we started studying the Bible with people, and that's why we're there. We're there to pass on the information of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to plant churches, and that's why you all sent us. And so, as of right now, we have the one church there in Temuco. It's the capital city of the Araucanía region of Chile. It's about 300,000 people, and we're right there in the middle of it. There is no other independent fundamental Baptist church in that city of 300,000 people. And throughout the whole region, there's only a couple other independent fundamental Baptist churches in the whole region of about 1 million people. So we're there, and I'm using the men. We have a solid group of men. I mean, when I get back, we're starting up Bible Institute. There's a couple of the men that claim the call to preach, and so we're going to start up Bible Institute. We'll be teaching that, and continuing on with studying the Bible with people. That's the main thing to pass on the information of the gospel, correct, and get people grounded doctrinally in the Bible. And I told our guys, I said, listen, I said, these Bible studies, I taught them how to do basic Bible truths, and I said, these Bible studies, this is ministry. If you're unwilling to do this now, I said, you're unwilling to do it in however many years it takes you to get through Bible Institute. And that's something I was taught. here. And it's the truth. If I'm unwilling to do it now while I'm training, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to be any different when I get out in the ministry. I'm not going to be any different. I mean, your kids aren't going to be any different. Look at it like this. Your kids aren't going to be any different than what they are now when they get married. When they're out in their job or anything. So you better teach them good now. And you better foster in them good work ethic. And those Bible studies, you don't get patted on the back for doing those. It's not something, good job, or anything like that. It's something you do. It's between you and the Lord and the people you're studying with. And that's the way that it is in the ministry. I mean, that's the way it's been for us. But You don't get a pat on the back. It's the Lord tells you good job, and you have that peace in your heart that the Lord is happy with what you're doing, and that's what you have to have to remain where you're at. We've had plenty of difficulties, and we've had some things. Some of the most horrible things that have ever happened in our entire life have happened since we've been in the ministry. But you want to know something? The Lord knows. The Lord is good. And He is good to us, and He loves us so much. And so we have this group. It's not just a group. It's a church. It's a church. It's a young church. And one of these days, this church is going to be organized, and she's going to be ready for her husband, Jesus Christ, and she'll be out on her own. But right now, we're getting the people ready for that. And we've been doing studies. In the country of Chile, there's an indigenous group called the Mapuche. And they're about 1 million people, and they stretch from Chile into Argentina. And we, through a track that we handed out, the people responded to that track and asked us if they could study the Bible with us. And we started studying the Bible with them in January. And we studied and studied and studied. I talked to preacher. I'd be like, I don't know what else to tell him. He goes, well, if they're still inviting you in, you might keep on studying. I was like, well, okay, praise the Lord. Keep on going. And we just kept studying with them, sharing the gospel, it was nothing more than, I would go there Tuesday and Thursday nights, every single week. And we'd study a salvation Bible study, sit there at their table, and we'd sit there and we'd study the Bible, and they would get under conviction and just be like, I'm just not ready yet. And there's something I don't understand. And so when we got the church planted there in Temuco, it's an hour and a half drive where we're studying in this community. It's the Antioquia community of the Mapuche. And so it's an hour and a half drive, and I was like, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. There's something wrong with me. And I prayed and prayed and prayed, and I sent... You know, I've been taking the men down there with me, and I sent one of the men. I sent one Tuesday night. I sent just the Chilenos, and I was like, maybe it's something with a gringo. And they went down there, and it was the same thing. I was like, well, praise the Lord, you know. it's not all me, you know. But they came back, and Wednesday night service, I preached and. We were talking, and the man that went down, he got under such conviction during the service, and I said, well, brother, what's wrong? He goes, I'm very bitter at them for not receiving the gospel, and he said, I just got that right with the Lord. He goes, you've been going there for so many months, and we went down and we shared the gospel with them. They haven't received it, you know. And I'm very bitter about that. And this Chileno was telling me this, and we talked, and I was like, brother, I said, we need to be very gracious. We need to be, we need to extend the same amount of grace that we've received. And so, he was like, I've got it right. We're going to continue to do this. And we went down there. That was Wednesday night. Thursday night we went down. We studied, and nothing. It was like, I know I need to be saved, but I don't know. And I want to be saved. I just don't know. And I got a message on Friday, and Elizabeth is her name. She sent me a message. She said, I want you to know that last night I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I know that it's only by the blood of Jesus Christ that I'm saved, not by any works of my own. It is by His work that He did on the cross. And I was like, praise the Lord, you know. I mean, that'll make you jump. And I said, well, praise the Lord. I said, we'll be praying for your husband. And then Saturday afternoon, he sent me a text. And he goes, I want to let you know that this afternoon I made the best decision of my entire life. I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and I am saved. I have no doubt about it that I am saved. I asked for forgiveness of my sins, and I said, well, praise the Lord. And he, all the time that we've been studying, for 10 months, been going there, and they call me Don James. They're just being respectful. And so I didn't really care for it. I really like Brother James or Hermano James, but they're not my brothers. They're not my brothers and sisters yet. And so we talked to him, and when the other men are down there, they call me Pastor, you know. And when he said, I want to thank you so much for allowing the Lord to use you to guide me with the gospel in my life. Thank you, Pastor James. And that did it for me right there. Let me tell you, that did it for me. I remember hearing my pastor say, there's nothing like having someone call you a pastor. And I tell you, there's nothing like it. And we're studying doctrinal studies with them. I think they're going to be ready to be baptized here pretty soon. So praise the Lord for that. Right now, we go down Tuesdays and Wednesday nights to them, and we go down Sunday evenings and have church services with them in their home. They've opened their home up to where we can have services in another community already. So praise the Lord for that. And you just never know where this may lead. You never know where the church in Temuco may lead to. You know, we may have, Temuco could use 20 independent fundamental Baptist churches of 300,000 people. But in this community, this Mapuche community, you never know where that could lead. It could lead into openings into other communities. And those people need the gospel. You know, we were studying with them during Easter of last year, and had the TV on, and they had we had the TV on, and they were, you know, Chile's mainly a Catholic country, and we had the TV on, and they were showing their parades they were having the Statue of Mary, and everybody was doing their thing with all that. And Elizabeth, she goes, I tell you what, she goes, there's more idols in the Catholic Church than there are here in this forest. And I was like, what? They literally still have idols in the forest there. They still have medicine people. I mean, they still have all these things. And the Lord saw fit to allow this church to see a couple of those folks get saved. And to see a church planted there already in Temuco. And it's just a wonderful thing. And we appreciate that, and they wanted to do that. They paid for that plaque. When I was coming up here, they told me, they were like, we want to help you out with your airline ticket a little bit. And so they helped me out a little bit, and they're renting the building there. And I tell you, that's not very common, and I think you all understand that. So just thank you so much. Hello, Jennifer and Seth, Nathan, and Isaiah. We love you. They're watching tonight. And just thank you so much. Thank you so much. Turn to Psalm number 77. I read this the other morning, and the Lord spoke to my heart in this passage of Scripture, and that's kind of where the best sermons come from, I think, when the Lord speaks to the preacher's heart. So Psalm 77, it says here, are you all ready, I guess? Okay. I cried unto the Lord, to God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, He gave ear unto me, In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night, and I ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of the ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? In his mercy, is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph and Selah. The waters saw thee, O God, and the waters saw thee, and they were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water. The skies sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea. Thy path is at great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou ledest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Brother Sam, would you pray, please? Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So it says here in Psalm 70, it says, to the chief musician, to Jeduthun, a psalm of Asaph. You know, this would. I was trying to think, you know, what would this be like today? This would. I think in my mind, this would be today. This would be like I write something and I send it to Brother Scott, and I said, sing this to the church. And or tell this to the church. Because he's the chief musician here. Is that correct? You know, and I mean, I think so. Read this. This would be something that I would write and be like, hey, I want you to share this. I want you to tell folks this. You know, it says here in verse 1, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. You know, I cried, and God listened. Yeah. You know, it's so good that we understand that. Yeah. That we have a God that listens to us. He gives ear unto us. Right. That's just such a wonderful thing. You know, no matter where we are in this world, He gives ear unto us. Right. He gives ear unto us. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. You know, it sounds almost as Asaph here is going through something very difficult. Is he not? I mean, listen to this. He says, in the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night. You know, he had sleepless nights because of this. And nothing helped him. You know, sometimes we get to these places in our lives. We'll have a sleepless night. We'll have something that and nothing helps. We'll sit there. We'll be talking to the Lord. We'll be doing talking to Him and trying to work things out. And it seems like nothing's going to work. Nothing's going to work. And it says in verse 3, I remembered God and was troubled. God is holy. God is holy, and He is always holy. And I believe that this why this man was troubled. I remembered God and was troubled. You know, I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. You know, I remember God and was troubled. I complained. I thought on this. I meditated on this. I mused on this. It wasn't like the complaints of a child. It was when he says, "I complained." He meditated on con force. I mean, he was really into this, and he was engulfed in this. It enveloped him. Do you understand that? This is the type of problem that this man was having. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. He was enveloped in this. He was totally engulfed in this. Thou holdest my eyes waking. I am so troubled I cannot speak. You know, I tried to figure out, to the best that I can figure out, that thou holdest my eyes waking is I can't even blink. I can't even blink. I can't even speak. This is a pretty tough time, is it not? And I can't blink. I can't speak. In verse 5, he says, I have considered the days of old and the years of ancient times. You know, I've considered these things. I've started to remember what God has done in ancient times. The things that I've read in the Bible for us. I've considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I called to remembrance my song in the night. My song in the night. You know, my song in the night, I called into remembrance my song. What God has done for me. My song. What God has done in my life. You know, my song's a little bit different than your song. But they have something the same. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, His blood saves us. It says, I commune, I meditate. I complain, but I muse on this. I meditate on this. With my own heart. Basically, what he's saying here is, I'm sitting here, I'm going over my own history with the Lord, with God. My song. What He's done for me. What He's done in my life. What I know of Him from others. You know, when we're having these difficulties in our life, when we're going through these different things, the things that have a lot of force in our life, we can remember what God has done for us. And we can remember the stories that others have told us also. We can remember, hey, God delivered this man. And we can remember the stories in the Bible how God delivered others. And we need to have these things because you'll see here in a minute, what I know of Him from others is important. It's important for us to share with others. Do you know that?
Right.
I mean, when God puts you through something tough, you ought to share it with somebody else.
Right.
Not because of, look at me. But look at my Lord. Hey, let me tell you something, brother. He can help you. Let me tell you something. He can work this through in your life. And he had the psalmist here. He asked a few questions. Will the Lord cast off forever? You know, I mean, can you imagine this? This, you know, Asaph's going through these things in the night, and he's sitting there. He can't even blink. He can't speak. He you know, he's going through all these things. He communes in his own heart. He starts to go over the histories of everything. He remembers his song, and he starts asking himself these questions. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will He be favorable no more? Is His mercy clean gone forever? Doth His promise fail forevermore? Hath the Lord forgotten to be gracious? Hath He in His anger shut up His tender mercies? Then it says there in verse 9, Selah. You know, it said that in verse 4, in another verse there, I can't remember, verse 3. But just hang on there for a second and think. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will He be favorable no more? Is He done with us? Is His mercy clean gone forever? Does His promise fail forevermore? Hath the Lord forgotten to be gracious? Hath He in anger shut up His tender mercies? And after I think on those things just for a little bit, the answer is no.
Right, right. Amen.
No. Praise the Lord, it's no.
Yes.
You know, it doesn't have to be that way, but we know from what we read here in this Bible that His mercy is forever,
right,
and His grace is forever. His salvation is forever. That's just such a wonderful thing because we have a rock. We have something that does not move. He does not move. He will always be there. He is the anchor for our souls, as it says in Hebrews. He can do these things. In verse 10, it says this, "And I said, this is my infirmity." You know, I think this is interesting because this is mine, my infirmity. It's not God's infirmity. It's not any weakness on God's part. You want to know something? I cannot deliver myself from all situations. I cannot give myself peace in all situations. I can't work out what's best in all situations. But my Savior can, and God can. You know, verse 9 really caught me. I mean, "Hath God forgotten to be gracious?" You know, when I looked up that word, the word gracious, and trying to figure out what it means, and in the Greek, it says it's in a sense of supplication in prayer. And you know, I look at this and in the Spanish, let me tell you what it says here in the Spanish. It says, "Ha obliviado Dios a tener misericordia. Has He forgotten to have mercy?" And I read that to be merciful, basically, is what it's saying. And I read, "Has He forgotten to be gracious?" And I have to think that when I look at gracious is a mix of two things: grace, which is unmerited favor, and mercy, which is not getting what I deserve. That's what gracious is. Has He forgotten to be gracious? No. I don't believe that. I don't know. I mean, pastor can slap me later, but I don't believe that you can separate the two, grace and mercy. I don't know how you can. Because He's graceful unto us. He shows us grace, unmerited favor. In the Spanish, it's don or favor, sin medicare, unmerited. Nothing on my part. Nothing on my part. But His mercy is He doesn't give me what I deserve. Well, what's that? Hell? Total destruction here. Because I deserve that sometimes. You know, this gracious, I believe, is a mix of God's mercy and His grace. And it's in a sense of prayer and supplication. And that reminded me, this psalm, when I read this the other morning, reminded me of a verse, two verses in Philippians that really helped me out. And we'll take a look at those two verses, and we'll try to draw some application here for our lives and everything. So Philippians chapter 4. this little, I keep this in my Bible. Here, it's a little picture of a cat. But a little girl named Catalina, a little Mapuche girl, drew this for me to have. And I've had that in my Bible for I don't even know how many months now. But I use it as a bookmark in the New Testament. And just precious folks. Precious folks. You all already know the verse, I bet. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. It says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Well, Brother James, why did you take us to this verse? Well, it's because of that gracious, that word gracious. Because it's in a sense of supplication. When we make our supplication unto God, He's gracious. Do you understand that? He is gracious towards us. And that just that supplication kind of drew these two together for me because, I mean, you all know what we went through with Isaiah and everything, and these verses here, they helped us. You know, when you don't know, when you have no idea what's going to happen, and when something just, I mean, out of the blue, just like a baseball bat, just hits you right upside the head, and you don't understand what's going to happen, what's going on, but the only thing you know is God is gracious,
right.
And that He's going to take care of you.
Right.
These verses will take care of you, and the Word of God will take care of you. And so it says here, it says, be careful for nothing. No thing. Be careful for no thing. How many things don't be careful for? Nothing. No thing. But in everything. So be careful for no thing. Don't be full of care for anything. But in everything. In everything. You know, when Pastor last night, when he was saying, I didn't give a testimony last night because you killed me with your devotion last night. Sometimes we need to be thankful for what doesn't happen. And sometimes we need to be thankful for what doesn't happen. And we can hold on to that. We can be thankful that a child's not dead. We can be thankful that it's not worse. We can always be thankful in these different situations. I liked it because I kind of felt guilty because I've never felt guilty. I've never felt thankful for what happened to Isaiah. But I can be thankful in it. I can be thankful in it. And I always, you know, sometimes when you read a verse in the Bible, you read it and you add a word in it in your mind. Oh, you do that? Yeah, sometimes. That's why you have to study the Word of God. You add it. Or you hear other people give testimony. Well, you just have to be thankful for all things. No, you need to be thankful in them. And you can be. And it says here in this verse, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. When we make known, that supplication just really hits me because when we make known our request unto God, God is always faithful to be gracious. Sometimes maybe not in the way that we want, but he's sin falta, without, never fails. He is gracious towards us. It says, let your request be made known unto God. God already knows it, but talk to Him about it. I mean, He's really there. I mean, we try to teach our folks that when you pray, you're actually talking unto God. And so when we pray, we're having a conversation with Him. You know, when we pray, we need to say like things like your word and your grace. Because we're talking unto Him, right?
Right.
I mean, that's difficult to do, but hey, if we're having a conversation with if I'm having a conversation with Brother Kirby and I say, hey, Brother Kirby, what about this? And Brother Kirby has this, and Brother Kirby has this, and when I'm talking unto Him, that's kind of weird, isn't it? Hey, your home, your car, your this or that. We're talking unto God. And we can make our supplications known unto Him. Just like the psalmist in the night. He couldn't sleep. He couldn't even shut his eyes. He couldn't speak. He's sitting there going over all these things in his mind. And he makes his supplication known unto God. And God with graciousness responds. Sometimes just with peace in our heart. It says, let your request be made known unto God and the peace of God. It's a promise. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep in your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, though, I was talking to a guy one time. He used this to kind of, I don't know how to say it, to counsel me. He was like, "You just look at this verse." And he said, and that peace sometimes is fleeting. But what do? There again, you make your supplications known unto God. You go over it again with God. And when you get peace, you have it again. We don't spend near enough time in prayer.
Right.
You know, our time in prayer is like, it's like just, you know, it's like what you see the people joke about praying for the meal. Oh, it's great food. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And that's all people do. We need to talk to the Lord. Make our supplications known unto Him. Our prayers and supplications known unto Him. And our request made known unto God. And the peace of God will come. It will. You just got to keep on doing it. Because, you know, like the psalmist said, this is my infirmity, not his. When I don't have this, there's something here that's not right that I need to get right. It's not something wrong with God. You understand? You know, it's not, you know, something's disconnected because I'm not hearing back from Him. But we can have this peace. And why does all this work? Because God's gracious. God is gracious. God has not forgotten to be gracious. He's not forgotten it. And you want to know something? He never will. You know, that brings us to what should I do with this? You know, God is gracious without fail. Everything He does is gracious. You know, I mean, sometimes He's in judgment, but He's doing it in a gracious manner because He's tried. But you want to know something? What we should do? We should do the same thing. I shouldn't forget how to be gracious. That's to have mercy. Don or favor, sin medicare, unmerited favor. If I'm to be gracious, do people have to merit that in my life? What does somebody have to do for me to be gracious unto them? Well, if they've wronged me, is one thing is they can repent and ask for forgiveness. And what choice do I have other than to forgive? That's gracious. You know, if somebody is unrepentant about something, I mean, how can you give grace unto them? But it's available. You want to know a key to not getting bitter about different things, about people, whatever situation it is? Have that grace available. Have it available. You know, not being bitter against the others that have wronged you because they just won't get right. The grace needs to be available. You know, think about this. I don't need to forget how to be gracious. You know, when I make my supplications known unto God and I do this in a manner of with thanksgiving and I make my requests made known unto God, I pray and I make supplication, then, you know, if I do this, God is gracious to me. Why can't I give that to others? What blocks me from giving this to someone else? Why can't I be gracious to someone that I don't really like? If they come to me and they say, "I'm so sorry." You know, there has to be, I'm not talking about not holding anybody accountable for things, and that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being gracious and holding people accountable so that they understand the consequences of their actions. You know, I had to get, one of the things was my international driver's license, because right now we're in this no man's zone of temporary residency and permanent residency, and it should take just a few months, 6 months, but they've had our application since April 13th. And so it just keeps getting a little further, a little further, a little further. And it's because everybody wants to immigrate into Chile because the economy is one of the strongest economies in all of South America. But beside that, in this time that we're in, I found out I need to have my Chilean driver's license. You know, got we've been, there's checkpoints everywhere. And so they'll you know, hey, we want to see your vehicle documents, your license, your cedula, your identity card and everything. And everything was good until this one time. The Carabinero, which was the police, the police there are militarized. There's, you know, it's a branch of the military there. They're Carabineros. And so he goes, well, your license isn't good here. And I said, what do you mean? I said, he goes, you have residency. I said, we have temporary residency. He goes, well, it's not good. I said, well, what do you want me to do? I was not argumentative. I was just like, see you, Stead. What do you want me to do? And he's like, well, you need to get your driver's license here. And I said, okay. Where at? And he goes, go to here, to this little community. It's a lot easier to get it there. There's not a whole lot of folks. And so I went, and they said, well, you're in between your temporary residency and your permanent. You can't get a driver's license. I said, well, what am I going to do? They said, take a bus. And I said, but, okay. So I was like, but, never mind. And so one thing I could do is get an international driver's license. But they sell them in Chile. But at the bottom of them, it says, this is not good for driving in Chile. Hey, the one you buy here in the States says it's not good for driving here in the United States. Because mine says that. But the whole thing is, so I've been studying this book to take my driver's exam. And one of the things in the book has really helped me. The folks down there, they think differently and they drive differently. They do everything different. I mean, if you let it, the way that folks drive down there will drive you nuts. I mean, if I don't like, you know, I guess it's called tailgating, right? Tailgating someone, you know, even on rural roads, I want to leave a good space in between us because if I need to stop or something, I want to be able to stop. Well, you do that there, somebody's getting in there. They're going to be up on you and they're vroom, and then you're going the same speed. And it's like, oh, me and Jennifer are both like, ah, this is crazy. But, and I did figure out why, because that person wants to get in front of you here so they don't have to stand in line behind you when you get to the place you're going, because you're going to end up standing in line. That's why they want to get there quicker. But in the book, it says this in the book, and it has helped me to be gracious to folks there, because when you're learning the language, you're learning, and we're still learning the language. Okay, I'll be learning the language until they put me in the ground. Okay, that's just the way that it is. I've spoke English for 40 years, and I don't speak English perfectly after 40 years. So another 40 years speaking Spanish, maybe I'll have it as good as you're hearing me now in English, which isn't that good, I bet. So, but the thing is, it says this in the book, and it's helped me. It says when somebody cuts you off in traffic, or somebody does something that's not very intelligent to you in a vehicle, don't get angry. Give them the benefit of the doubt, because they probably did it out of ignorance, and they don't even know that they did it. And I got Lord can speak to your heart reading anything, and that convicted me. Why do I get bent out of whack? I need to talk to folks, first of all. And you want to know what you may find out? Ignorance there, it's not really a bad word. They may have just did it out of ignorance. They just didn't know. They have no idea that they offended you. They have no idea what's going on. And what do we need to do in those situations? Give grace. Be gracious. When we have that type of attitude with others, I mean other sinners that are saved by the same grace that I'm saved by, that have received the same mercy that I've received, I mean, they're not getting what they deserve, and I'm not getting what I deserve. You know, I've been giving something that I don't deserve. Why can't I give that to others? I'm being just as serious as all get out here. Why can't we give that to others? Why can't we be gracious? I don't know. Because I think sometimes that we feel sometimes, I mean, this is me personally, that maybe I'm just a little bit better than that person. How dare they offended me? How dare they've done this or that? But I have no right. Who am I? I am a sinner. I am saved by the blood of the crucified one. You remember that song? I am saved by grace. And I should be able to be gracious unto others. You know, don't forget graciousness, the graciousness that the Lord has shown you in your life. I mean, there's some times in my life, I remember different situations just in training here in the Institute that the Lord, He gave me plenty of graciousness. And we have a pastor that's very gracious. Amen. It wasn't off with his head. It wasn't, well, you're done, leave. He was very gracious, and God used that in my life. And God used you all, too, to be gracious unto me. I mean, it's a wonderful thing. And it's a wonderful thing when we give grace, when we are gracious unto others, how that may work in their life. For them maybe to be gracious unto others. We should be a gracious people. You know, I tell the folks in Temuco that we're Baptist and we should be known as people of the book. But you want to know something else? We should be known as gracious people. We should be known as the people that, man, I tell you what, I don't agree with those folks, but you want to know something? You're not going to find a more gracious group of people here in Missouri. Gracious is God's mercy and His grace all in one. I should be able to show that to others. And when I get to where I'm in a situation like in Psalm 77, and I'm going through these things in the night, I can't sleep, I can't blink, I can't do anything, and God shows me graciousness, why do you think He's doing that? So that we can do it. So that we can learn to be like Him. You know, Christian is to be Christ-like. And they were first called Christians there in Antioch. And we should be able to be Christ-like, be very gracious. Remember, no matter what you're going through, God has not forgotten to be gracious. I hope you get that. I mean, anything in this whole, the whole sermon, no matter what you're going through, God has not forgotten to be gracious. And we shouldn't either. Okay? I hope it's okay. I hope everything's good. But seriously, we should not forget to be gracious. Because God hasn't. Let's pray.